Why don't we give the creative team a huge round of applause? Ah, great sense of the Holy Spirit. Who enjoys worship? Yeah. Got a friend of mine, I got my older cousin here from across the ditch. Across the ditch, a New Zealander. And yeah, you're much loved in this place. There's lots of New Zealanders. And he's a minister as well. I think a good portion are in ministry. But I just got a word for you, Mike. There's just, and I was just next to you, and the Holy Spirit was just, you felt a lot of restriction around your spirit and your life for a while. And it's almost like it's got to a point where it's starting to stifle you. And this next season, I could just see God just releasing. And with that will come just a sense of freedom on the inside of you. That just, it's been for a few years. It's just feel like there's been a restriction around you, and it's restricted your dreaming. It's restricted who you are. Especially in the things of the Spirit. And I just, this next season, there is just going to, you're just going to feel that restriction just lift off you. And you know, and I just see this blue sky over your life and a smile coming back on your face, like someone's just lifted the ceiling off, and there's just a horizon, you know, like a sunset, and just a new fresh, this just bursting into your life in the area of finance and in the area of fulfillment and happiness. Like I could just see you smiling from ear to ear, and there's this massive freedom that's just coming to your house and coming to your life. You know, I just sense you've been so faithful. You're a faithful man of God. And it's almost like God's led you out to a place where there is, literally where there's going to be freedom for you, where he can give you what he's got stored up for you. And God's going to start to do that very quickly in this next season of your life. Anyway, good man. Well, before we kick into it, this is the sad part of church life. I'm going to quickly just pray for a couple and family who are going to Brisbane. 4-2 and Isaac, why don't you guys come out here for a sec? And why anyone would want to go to Brisbane, I don't know. But he's wearing an All Blacks jumper. That's because of last night, is that right? We're not really going to mention it, are we? Too many people get upset. What was the score? 8-2. Yeah, I mentioned it. And tears, I like to see tears. I don't like to see tears, but, you know, you guys have been amazing as a couple in this church and your whole family. And we got LaShawn for a few more weeks, haven't we? No. Okay. We're going to kidnap her and not send her back. Can we kidnap her? Is kidnapping all right? It is, isn't it? But, you know, Isaac came and 4-2's been working within our care organization, care side, and he got really what's been your heart to go to Brisbane, got an amazing job opportunity up in Brisbane. And I prayed against it for a while and then realized it was a real God thing. So, you know, I know it's exciting. I know for you guys, for house and all sorts of things, I prophesy an amazing house in your lives, your own home. And I really do. I think that's part of what God's reward for you. And for you too, 4-2, you've got a real heart for ministry. And I know it's tough for you to do what you know, from that side, that perspective, but God's going to honor you with the way that you've served and the way you've served people. And he's going to turn those tears, because God has used you powerfully and he's going to continue to use you. I don't know quite where and when. You're just going to be patient and trust God. But why don't we just stretch our hands towards this great family. And they're just amazing people. And I thank for them the day they walked in here and on the sad day that they walk out. So, Mary Ann, why don't you come and God, we just thank you for this amazing couple. And God, we thank you for their future that you have before them. God, I thank you for this opportunity that Isaac has right now, God. God, I pray that he would just walk into a room, Father God, that is wide and expansive. And God, that dream and that picture that you've put in his heart for the job, the thing that, God, that just fulfills him on the inside, God, I pray he finds that. God, I pray favor on him, Father God. And God, I pray for God, as she launches herself, God, into this new season of her life, God. God, I pray that ministry would just go from strength to strength. God, whether she's involved straight away in a church or not, God, I just pray that you would use that ministry that you've opened up, that you've shown her, that confidence and that anointing that she's discovered, God, that stride that she's discovered in you. God, I pray that you would just increase that, Father God. God, I pray for protection over this family, blessing, God, and favor that you've gone before them and you've made a way, Father God, for them to go from strength to strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. We're going to miss you guys. Obviously, this is always home. You can always come back and visit us. And they said it's okay for all of us to go and stay at once at their place. And that's just the way it rolls, your family. So those that want to, I think, early December all descend on their house at once, just let me know. We're going to take the church buses and go there all in one large group. Just straight into their house and just go straight for the fridge. That's how it works. We're family. Good to have you here. Ephesians 6. I love this last. We're up to verse 10. And it seems like we've tracked through a lot with Ephesians. And we've got to, we got through a lot. The first three chapters really was just the Apostle Paul through the unction of the Holy Spirit just telling us how amazing this gift of salvation is. I love in that whole passage, there's a part where you get the feeling that the whole of the universe is jealous of us. That the whole, all the angels, all the everything that's God's created is looking at what we have as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, and the fact that we weren't just invited into the kingdom and put in some servant's role. We were invited into the kingdom and into relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he calls us family. And I love that picture that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when they designed man, when they designed and they created us, they did it because they wanted to expand their relationship. They had this incredible relationship between the Trinity. And they decided to create a being, us, so that relationship, that love, the purity of that love, they could include other people in on that. And the angels, I'm sorry, but they're kind of on the outside. They're not created in the likeness and the image of God. Are you with me? This is the Word of God. We were created that way. And, you know, when you think through your head, why would God create us? Why? Because what they had was so good, they wanted to expand their family. And every one of you in this room, you're sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And the first three chapters of Ephesians, it's almost like the whole of the universe just looks at us and goes, do you know what you've got? Have you got any idea how special you are in this universe? Every one of you in this room. Because you are invited into the most intimate, most powerful relationship they could ever be. Are you with me? And I love, as you read through the Apostle Paul, that was the first three chapters in a nutshell of Ephesians. And then we get into chapter 4 and 5 and right up to now, where the Apostle Paul, he's set that ground of how special we are, but then he starts to tip into how we should operate as a church in Ephesians 4, how we should operate in our sexuality, and he talks about marriage. We saw that in Ephesians 5. And he starts to talk about how we should operate as parents and how we should operate in our workplace last week. He's giving us the groundwork, giving us principles, saying you are new, you're fresh, you're a new creation. You're this incredible, incredible opportunity that's in front of you. You've got God, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got everyone looking and pouring into your life. You've got such opportunity. And he starts to give us the groundwork of how we need to work out our lives and live our lives in this new, incredibly exciting life that we have, this new creation we have in him. And then he changes gears. Because then he comes to Ephesians 6, verse 10. And I feel like the Apostle Paul here just clicks it into another gear and says, okay, all right, let me sum this up. So I'm going to read it. Verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that it is that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. What he does is he very quickly tells us that we are in a spiritual world. And, you know, this world does everything it can to try and deny that we are. It gets us so caught up with the natural and the practical, it tries to get us out of the fact that we're in the spiritual. Yet, there isn't a movie out there. Every movie you see out there is about spiritual things that I've seen. There's so much of it out there. Because the entertainment world knows that's where people's hearts and minds are going. But the devil's trying to get us just to think about our phones and our cars and our houses and our practical things. But the entertainment world knows that that's not going to occupy us. We've got something inside of us, and we know that we live in something a little bit more exciting than just the natural. Amen? I love watching the Olympics because you've seen so many athletes. You know, the world tries to tell us that science and technology is taking over, and spiritual things are disappearing. It's, you know, it's getting replaced. You hear it all the time. I hate that tone. You know, science is going to answer everything, and technology is going to answer everything. I wonder if those people would wander through the rooms of St. George Hospital, maybe head down to the palliative care ward and see how many people that are on their beds facing death are reaching towards their iPhones for comfort. Well, there won't be, right? Unless there's another person on the other end with a prayer. Are you with me? When people get to a place, when we all of us get to a place, we all intrinsically know inside of us that we are spiritual beings and this is just not it. There's more to this life. Amen? There's more to it than what we face, what we see, what we're involved in right now. We can touch it, we can taste it, touch it, but we know there's a spiritual side to everything. You know, back on the Olympics, when you're watching the Olympics, you just see how many people, how many athletes. Even Usain Bolt. But you see him this, don't you? What about the Fiji team? Did you see them when they won the sevens? They get in a huddle and they just start singing worship and they keep singing worship and they keep singing worship. And there was a couple of guys looking pretty awkward, but the rest were just singing their hearts out. And you see so many people, you know, whether it's this, you know, before they do a 100-meter sprint. And off they go. Do you know what? I don't think you just can't take faith out of this world, because we know we're built with a knowing inside of us that we are spiritual people. That is, I thank God that it's not all about this. We live in a perspex world. We're supernatural. This is not it. When I die, I get upgraded to something spiritual and something exciting. I got no idea what I'm going to do, but it's going to be exciting. Can't wait to get there. Kind of sounds weird, right? And this Ephesians 6 verse 10 is, there's two convictions that the Apostle Paul is trying to get through to us. He's given us so much grounding, but he's going, there's so much. You've got to know, you've got to understand that there's a spiritual side to life, and we've got to have convictions on the inside of us. And these two first convictions, the first one is we've got to have a conviction of our safety. If you want to live in this life, if you want to move forward and live life with, I guess, with clarity of mind and heart, you've got to be convinced that you're safe. And an alarm system in your home isn't going to cut it. All right? And just, you know, telling your kids before they drive out the door and pleading with them that they don't get in trouble, or getting anxious and pacing around, isn't going to do it. There's got to be something that we can tap into that gives us a conviction that there is someone that's watching over us, looking after us. There's a power in our lives that brings protection. Amen? There are two convictions that we see. The first one is, you know, and I'm aware, for me, I want to see my kids and my family safe. We go to the first part of this. Finding my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Finding my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Your whole Christianity is wrapped up in you being in God. If you try to live your Christianity outside of being in God, then you're taking yourself outside of that protection. Are you with me? If you want to live with a sense that, you know, my decisions are going to be right, my actions are going to be right, we've got to live inside God's word. We've got to live out of our relationship with Him. I've got to say that to Christians, because quite often Christians, they live a Christian life, but they don't live in Him. They've joined the club, they've checked in the door, and they're here, and they've got the Christian flag. They might even have a Christian tattoo. But the reality is that they don't spend their time in the Word living in Him. They don't live their Christian life out of relationship. They live it out of lifestyle. But the reality of what he's saying here is we fight against a spiritual enemy, and you can't cut it by just being in a lifestyle. If this is a gym that you've checked into, yeah, I go to Bay City Gym every Sunday morning. Yeah, we do a little bit of positive, what have you, midweek. I don't have any connection with God. I don't read my Bible. I don't meet with Him. I don't pray. I don't talk. I have no relationship, but I just join the gym on Sunday mornings. Good place to start. You're going to come across messages like this. I'm going to get in your face and tell you to take your Christianity to the next level and start a relationship. Are you with me? But the reality is we're going to live in Him. In Him we get the protection. In Him we get the freedom that God has for us. First one says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The second revelation really is, how do you do life? You could do life in God, in His strength, or you could do it outside of that. There's a whole world out there that's not even connected to God, and they're just doing their life out completely outside of God. But I'm talking about Christians that don't do it out of relationship. The second thing is, where do you get your strength from? You're going through some challenges and struggles, whether it's health, relationships, emotions, financial. Where do you get your strength from? Paul's telling you, do your Christianity out of relationship. And then he goes on and says, it's not your strength, your power, but my strength that'll get you through everything. Are you with me? Can I just tell you, you're not protected against hard times. A lot of Christians come into this door and they think, you know, this is it. I'm not going to have any tough times in my life. God does. He never promises that. He just promises that he'll get you through the tough times. If you stay in him and you stay with his strength, he'll get you through it. That's his promise to you. Amen? Jesus says to the disciples, he said, hey, come and partake of all my blessing and my sorrows. Are you with me? He's not. You don't just instantly have this bubble around you where everything's just perfect. No, life still throws things at you. You have all sorts of things. But he promises you that if you do it in him and you do it with his strength, you'll get through it. But if you decide to not do it in him and you don't go in a relationship and you take away and you deny him and he's trying to talk to you, he's going, I'm trying to give you wisdom here, but you're just not in the word. You're not talking to him. You come into a decision crossroad in your life and you're just not talking to him. So you might take a wrong direction. Or over here, you're just trying to do it on your own strength. You're just burdened and you're doing all this and God's just saying, please, let my strength be released into your life. I want to take some of that burden. Amen? See, when it's a natural thing, it's easy for us to think that we can meet it with natural means, physical strength, and our own abilities. But the Apostle Paul's saying, we live in a spiritual world. So what he's trying to say to you, that there is a spiritual influence behind things that can only be beaten by you being in your relationship and drawing on that identity that you have in him and standing in the strength of Christ's relationship. It's his spirit in you that gives you the ability to defeat anything spiritually. Are you with me? And when it comes to that, you're doing all this in the physical, and you know what? There could be a spiritual influence against you. And guess what? Your physical is going to do, it's not going to do anything. That's where you've got to stop and you just start to pray. And sometimes that praying for 10 minutes versus that 45 minutes of trying to talk to someone, sometimes, you know, you do it in the natural, then you do it in the spiritual, and there's such a different result. Are you with me? God's going, hey, well, open your eyes up. You cannot deny the spiritual side of your life. You can't deny that the enemy is trying to do what he wants to do. And God says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he goes on, verse 11, and starts to give us how we can turn things around. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. God wants us to put on what he supplied for us spiritually. Let's face it. He's not talking natural, right? Okay, I had to spell that out, but not otherwise all of you would be standing here with helmets on, breastplates. You'd be walking into church with swords. True? I know you're laughing, but he's actually telling you to do this daily, to do it all the time. So if literally that's the way it was, you came into church, you know, you walked in there and you grabbed your Andrew Harper's breastplate. Okay, it's a bit bigger this year. Oh. Clunk it on, Andrew Harper's helmet. You know, we had them all lined up there and you come into church, clink, 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 sword. It's a concept, right? What God is saying is he wants you to do that, but he wants you to do it in the spiritual because you are fighting a spiritual battle. Are you with me? He's trying to make it that plain and that obvious to you that it gets into your head that you have to protect yourself spiritually, that your life is affected spiritually, that there's a spiritual realm around your life, and if you aren't protected that way, then you actually are putting yourself in a delicate position. And the armor of God is given to us because we're in Him. Next week we'll go quickly through the armor of God and tell you what it is, but every part of it has such significance to the way you live your life. It affects you emotionally. It affects every part of your life and every part where your life can come out of. It affects your blessing, your work, your family life, your emotion sides. It affects so many areas in your life. If you're in Him, God wants you to put that armor on. Because there is an attack against you. Don't deny it. Sometimes we just think, ah, circumstance. Ah, no big deal. I was sitting with a business person not long ago, and I said, you know what? Something I've noticed about Christian business people. If someone's unsaved, it's almost like, and they're in business, it's almost like God will open up doors just to allow them to have some form of blessing. He'll be slowly but surely destroying their life because He's out to kill and destroy. But it's almost like He just allows them. You ever notice why you look out there and there's so much wealth with the wicked? Have you noticed that? Honestly, this is like, it's like the wealth of the wicked the Bible talks about, stored up for the righteous. But the fact is the wicked does have a lot of wealth. Because the enemy is like, as long as they're content and doing their thing and they're not thinking this, the spiritual side, he's kind of happy. But if you're a Christian person and you're out there trying to do something amazing for God, He's never going to leave you alone because you smell of Christ. He can't help Himself. He couldn't help going after Jesus when Jesus was on the cross. Even probably in his mind, he knew it was a dumb move. He just couldn't help it because it was Jesus. And there was an opportunity where he was unprotected. It was like, oh my goodness, I can get the Son of Man. I can get the Son of God. And he went after him. And he whipped him and did everything he could, as vile as he could. True? Well, that's the enemy's like. And when we're unprotected, when we don't understand that, when we don't understand that we've got to have protection over our lives, we've got to be conscious of that. Are you with me? I'm not trying to frighten you. The Apostle Paul's going, there's all the lifestyle. And then he clunks it and goes, now, don't be naive. Because you know what? The Word of God says we're actually in a battle. We're actually in a spiritual battle. Even though you're sitting here and it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, we're about to have coffee soon, and it's all good, and birds are chirping, spring's on the way, lambs are leaping. It's all fantastic. Right now in the spiritual, there is a battle going on. And we've always been a part of that battle. And you don't see a soldier go down and sit there, hey, without his weapons. You know, he goes into war and he's got his cafe latte. Hey, the enemy's charging towards him, horses and chariots, yelling, screaming. And you're like, you just don't see that, right? They're armed, they're ready, they're poised, they're right. Okay, all right, got armor on, got my guns loaded, my sword. All right, here we go. That's what the Apostle Paul's trying to say to you. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be ready. Got to be. If it's not just for you, for your household, get ready, get armed. The last part, the weapons we look for. He talks about the weapons. He says the armor of God given to us because it's protecting us, and the weapons is the Word of God, where we, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in the wicked places and heavenly places. The Word of God. He wants you to know how to use that sword. How do you do that? The Word of God. Some of you need to pray the Word of God. Amen? Pray the Word of God. Pray it over your family. Pray it over your health. Pray it over your life. Pray the Word of God. Pray it. Pray it into your circumstance. Stand there and go, God, we prayed over this church. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, it says. Amen? Amen. We just pray. If it's over finance, if it's over health, know what you're praying for. And then he goes on and tells us about the armor, and then he goes on and tells us about the sword, and we'll talk about that next week. I really sense in my spirit, some of us have just got to wake up and realize some of the stuff that's happening with your kids, some of the stuff that's happening in your relationships, some of the stuff that's happening around just doesn't seem right, is spiritual. I'm not negating counseling. I'm not negating all of those things, because the Word of God says practical and the spiritual. First the practical, then the spiritual. Get to it. But some of us just need to realize that we need to fire up and go to some prayer. Good place to start is here in church. This is about, this would be weird without the spiritual, wouldn't it? Don't you think? If we wandered in here and there was no Holy Spirit behind the worship, and I wasn't preaching the Word of God, but Andrew Harper's 44 points on success. Good luck. Or our prayers were just poems and small ditties, and you know, Anthony gets up there and shares a poem. Hi, I'm sure everyone can share a poem this morning. You know, and the kids are up there, and you know, they're just having fun, and you know, youth on Friday nights, it's just a bunch of kids, non-drug and alcohol environment. That's it. You took all that, but it's not, because you're here this morning and the Word of God is going into your spirit and it never, ever returns void. And you've stood yourself and you've been under worship that's been affecting your spirit. It's been stirring you up whether you've known it or not. And it's been, you've been engulfed in that. And your kids have been out there and they've been having fun running around in circles, but they've had the Word of God put as a foundation. It's like someone is putting a brick of the Word and building a foundation so that their lives can be solid in God. And on a Friday night, instead of some environment that's just cluttered with this and that and the other thing, there's the Word of God and there's worship and there's release and there's healing and there's deliverance and there's words of knowledge and there's the Holy Spirit released. Amen? That's what church is. That's what life group is. It's worth it. Worth being there. 9 times out of 10, when you walk out of church or you home fellowship or youth group, you feel better. You probably had to drag yourself to get there. That's called the flesh. And then your spirit gets fed and you come out and you go, gee, that was worth it. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's get the whole band to come up very quickly. Close your eyes in this place. Just close your eyes for a moment. So see, I want you just to think about yourself. I want you to be selfish for a moment. Just think about yourself. Don't think about anyone else. Where do you stand before God? Do you know 100%? If you were to stand before God that you are a believer, is there any doubt in your heart or mind that you have given your life over to Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord and Savior? Have you got any doubt whatsoever? Because if you've got any doubt, you don't have to. You can be in a place of assurance and security, knowing that you are a believer. I have no doubt. Haven't had it for years. I know exactly in my spirit, I know in my heart, I know in my mind where I will go when I leave this earth. And friend, you can know that and you can have that as your own personal revelation. Or maybe you're another person and you've just, if you're honest with yourself, you've just been hitting in the opposite direction to the things of God. And it's time for you to turn around and head towards God. And it's what we call a rededication, where you just stand before God and say, God, it's time to get serious about you, get serious about living for you. If you're any one of these two people, we're going to pray a prayer right now. And I want you to, with every eye closed, just pray it with Pray with meaning. Come on, let's do it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me, that you took away my sin, and you replaced it with your grace and your mercy. I accept today that eternity is placed in my heart, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I am a Christian, which means Christ in me. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins, Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed. Anyone? Put your hand up. You prayed that prayer? Awesome. A rededication? Keep your hand raised. Pop your hand up. If you pray that as a rededication or the first time, great, one hand just popped up. Anyone else? Maybe have a chat with this gentleman straight afterwards. Can we just end today on a worship song? Can we do that?